He's been called a vampire, a bloodsucker, and even a mosquito. All in fun, of course. Today we talk with Jeremy Puckett, supervisor of the Lee Health Blood Center, about what happens to donations after they're collected. We learned a few interesting facts along the way, and we think you will too. Stay right here and listen in on our conversation beginning right now.
You're listening to The Royal Palmcast, the show about all things real estate. From the production studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in Fort Myers, Florida, here's your host, Jim Sandville.
Welcome to the Royal Palmcast. I am Jim Sandville, your host here at the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in beautiful and sunny Fort Myers, Florida. I am here to talk about real estate with you on the Royal Palmcast. We talk about every aspect of real estate. If you are a realtor, a home buyer, home seller, we're going to touch on something you care about. Today we're going to talk about something everybody cares about, but first I want to introduce you to Jerry Johnson. Jerry.
Hey, thanks for the introduction, Jim.
Good to see you. Jerry's over there on the board, making sure everything works and
I'm boarding and adjusting and recording.
All the lights and the levels are...
They are leveling and lighting.
Yeah, the show...
Very nicely today.
The show always sounds good, and that's because Jerry puts the time and effort into it. He does a great job.
There's love in the shows.
Yeah, produced with love for
that's
you.
Right.
The listener. So we are happy you are here today. We want to talk today with Jeremy Puckett. Jeremy, you just did a show with us not too long ago, and you're back.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Thank you.
It's happy amazing to be here. He came back. It's awesome.
It is. Jeremy is the blood center supervisor at Lee Health. He is probably one of the more knowledgeable people in Lee County and Florida and the USA about blood. He has worked in lots of aspects of it on the collection side, on the lab side. And today we want to, as I said, focus on what happens after you give blood. Where does it go and how is it used and all that kind of stuff. But just give folks a quick introduction of who you are and what exactly you do at Lee Health.
So I'm the supervisor of the collections at Lee Health. So we have 3 blood mobiles, 4 fixed sites that are out in the community collecting blood every day to help replenish the supply that is being used. Everything collected in at Lee Health stays at Lee Health. So that's our big promo there.
And you've been in that position for how long?
This position, 5 years. I've been with the Blood Center for 20 years.
20 years? Where did you start in the organization?
So I actually started in processing. So the side that we're going to talk about, the lab side of what happens with that unit after it's collected, that's where I started and then I've just moved up from there.
And the lab is right here in Fort Myers?
Correct. At Lee Memorial, our processing lab. Everything comes back to Lee Memorial and we send out from there.
Huh. So you worked in a lab. You were in a white coat, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Wow. It's pretty impressive. I love that whole medical field. These people are deities. They're just miracle workers. They're doing great work every day. So I have a lot of respect for everyone in the medical field.
Thank you for
doing the work you do, because we all rely on you when we don't expect to. I mean, could be some trauma. You could be in a car crash, and the need is there.
It is. The need is there for that ready blood supply. We need those donors out to make sure that blood is available when it's needed.
You know, we were talking during the break about the longevity of blood, the shelf life. How long does it last?
So a unit of red cells is going to expire at 42 days. So you can donate every 56 days, and the unit is good for 42. That's after we put a additive solution on it that has a lot of sugars and different things to help keep those red cells viable.
Huh. So you freshen it up, keep it fresh, and what kind of conditions is it kept in? What special temperatures, I'm guessing?
Yeah, so the plasma portion of your blood is going to be frozen at minus 30 Celsius, so it's very cold, kind of similar to what you would see temperatures in Antarctica. Mm. And then the red cells are kept in a 4-degree refrigerator.
4 degrees Celsius?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we deal with all those metric things.
Yeah, in the medical field, that makes sense. Yeah. Any part of science, metrics is where it's
yes,
at.
Yep.
You know, I know you love fun facts, Jerry. You want to hear a fun fact?
Please, so I love the fun facts.
There are 3 countries that do not use the metric system. Can you name them?
One would be America.
America is right. Another is...
You got me. Fun facts, Jim.
Jeremy.
I knew the America one.
America. Myanmar and what's the other one? Liberia.
Oh, wow.
Liberia.
I believe there was a push a few decades ago where they were trying to move us to the metric system.
Well, that's been going on since Jimmy Carter was president. Yeah. And I was all for it because it makes so much sense. But Americans just wouldn't have it.
Probably would have been easier for all of us in school back in the day if we'd started that way.
My wife is from a country where they do use the metric system. And so when we talk about, she says, how warm is it today? And I have to convert it to Celsius every time, which is, you know, I'm happy to do because it helps me learn. Yeah. But I love my weight when I'm using kilograms and numbers much better than it is in regular weight in pounds. So in any event, enough about that. Jeremy, you've been in the blood business for a while, and Lee Health has too. Since how long?
So actually was formed in 1963, was the origination of the Blood Center for Lee Memorial.
And they've been doing great work ever since. That's good stuff. So tell me about your lab days. Let's go back to there. What happens when the blood mobile collects a pint of blood from... Walk me through it.
Yeah, so after the unit's collected, it's going to go into a cooler. And we're just trying to achieve a room temperature equilibration because it's going to come out a little bit warmer from you. When it gets back to the processing lab, we actually go through and separate each unit. We base it off of time. So
how do you separate it?
So it's going to go in a centrifuge, but we do that based off of when it was collected because we have 8 hours to get it separated and get the red cell in the refrigerator. So we take all the units out of the cooler, separate them by time. We batch them. We have two centrifuges. They look like giant washing machines. They each hold 8 units at a time. So they're massive, massive pieces of equipment. They're actually bolted to the ground so that they don't wobble away. Once they're spun, we have a device that's actually a patented device through somebody that makes a lot of money. That's called a plasma extractor, and it really is just two pieces of plastic that look like an alligator's mouth and the spring loaded in the bottom. So what it's doing is it's using the red cells to push the plasma out of the bag so that you don't mix it back up.
Interesting.
Yeah. So then that's where we get our two products. Our plasma and our red cell end up. The plasma goes into the freezer, and the red cell, we put that additive solution on and put it in the refrigerator.
Do both the plasma and the red blood cells, they last the same amount of time?
Or no. That... So the plasma is good for a year. Ah. So once we freeze it, we have it for a year, it'll never stay there that long. Same thing with the red cells. They're good for 42 days, but the reality is they're getting transfused in a day or two.
Yeah, and the demand exceeds supply here in Lee County, right?
Without a doubt, yes, sir.
Yeah, so in that case, you were telling me in the last show that you can draw on a secondary market and kind of build up your reserves when needed.
Right, so we can go out to other blood centers throughout the country who may have a surplus in a certain type, and we're able to get those units and get them moved over so that they are going where they're needed.
What's the rarest blood type?
So the rarest blood type is going to be AB negative. So at the same time of it being the rarest blood type, it's also the least used because there's not that many people out there that have it.
Yeah, yeah. So there must be kind of a direct correlation between the type and the demand, right?
Right. Oh, yeah, definitely. So the big thing, the O's are the big user because they're also the universal. So when you come in as a trauma patient, a lot of the times we're not going to take the time to get your blood type. You're just going to start getting O positive or O negative if you're male or female, just to make sure that we're getting something into your system. Then they'll type it. They'll switch you over to that specific type.
I think my dad was an AB negative because he was often called by whoever it was in our hometown to donate blood when there was an urgent need.
Wow.
He would go immediately to the hospital. He'd leave work, get out of bed if he had to. And I always looked up to him for that, and I have tried to follow in his footsteps, but I'm an O positive. That's pretty common, right?
It is common, but it is, again, one of the most widely used at the same time. It's that universal donor that's going to go out the door.
That's good. That's good. All right. So then what happens after you spin down the various products in the lab in the centrifuge?
So once they're in their storage environment, we send testing out. So we collected tubes during the collection process. Those are going to go up to Tampa to be tested. We get results back usually within 12 to 24 hours. That unit then we'll take out of the refrigerator once the testing's done, and we do an on-demand labeling. So it has barcodes. We do de-identify everybody once they donate. So you have a little barcode that's on your unit then. We scan the barcode and the product code, and it prints out a label for us that will have the blood type on it. That gets put on the unit. It goes back in the storage container, the refrigerator, the freezer, wherever that component needs to be. And then every morning, we get an inventory list from all of our transfusion services. So Gulf Coast, Cape Coral Hospital, Lee Memorial Hospital, and Health Park, they all send us what their inventory is for the day. And then they request certain units to restock what they have as a par level for their units. Then we do distribution as well. So processing is done in the evening, distribution in the morning. We go in, we grab whatever units they need, go in the computer, we ship them, pack them up in a box with wet ice if it's a red cell, dry ice if it's plasma, and then send them over to the transfusion services for them to get used.
And now, how many products can you get from a unit of blood?
So from the whole blood, we're getting two. We're getting the plasma and the red cell. We do a different collection method called apheresis collection. That's for our platelets. So we take one person, we put them on a machine. It actually draws out their whole blood. It goes into a centrifuge in the machine real time. We collect off the product that we need, the platelets, and then everything else goes back to the donor. You can do that a little bit more frequently. So that can be done every 2 weeks, whereas the whole blood donation, again, is every 56 days. So those are our platelet products. So those are the three main components we use, just different methods of collecting them. There's also different components that you can get from other larger blood centers that are doing some crazy separations, things like that. Cryoprecipitate, that's where the clotting factors are in a very high concentration. So that's going to be used for somebody that's massively bleeding, massive hemorrhage. You're going to give them a cryo product so that it kind of it helps clot a lot faster.
Interesting stuff. We're coming up on a quick break here, Jeremy, so if I'd appreciate it if you'd stick around, because I have a lot more questions for you. I'm not going to let you off that easy. So, Jerry, you ready for the break? We're going to take a big break here?
Sure.
All right, little break. I say big, I mean little. We're going to be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Jason Jakis, and you're listening to The Royal Palmcast.
This is Cecilia Sculthorpe, and you're listening to The Royal Palmcast.
Hi, I'm Josh Cadillac, and you're listening to The Royal Palmcast.
RPCRA frequently partners with Lee Health to help our community with life-saving donations of blood. Please consider donating at one of our upcoming collection events at our Cape Coral or Fort Myers office. Keep an eye on your member weekly newsletter and our Facebook page for exact dates and locations. Your community is counting on you, and we thank you for giving.
Do you own a second home or a vacation property? Do you rent it out to vacationers? Local governments across Florida are over-regulating your ability to rent out your property. RPAC fights these regulations and defends the rights of homeowners across Lee County and Florida. Invest as little as $20 in RPAC today to help us fight unwanted government regulations. For more information or to invest, contact Kevin Besser, the Director of Public Policy, at kevin@rpcra.org.
We are back on the Royal Palmcast. I'm Jim Sandville, along with Jerry Johnson. Jerry, you still okay?
Yeah, I'm Jerry Johnson.
Jerry, you caught me there. You caught me. I messed up, Jerry.
Hey, any way you can say it, that's great.
That'll all be fixed in post. Don't worry.
Sure.
Don't worry. Yeah. Jeremy is the blood center supervisor at Lee Health, and he is the man who knows all about blood. And realtors are well known for their generosity to the community. They do a lot of good for the community. They help build houses for Habitat for Humanity. Realtors will respond. When the hurricane hit the Bahamas last year, we had a very big effort that all the realtors, many of the realtors, got involved with, where we shipped lots of needed products over to our friends in the Bahamas, and they were very
grateful. We sure did.
Yeah. And realtors come out and support our blood drives, and we can always use more, though. So Jeremy's going to kind of explain to us why it's important to give blood. Now, Jeremy, how much of the blood you get of every 100 units, how many are usable and how many end up being wasted one way or the other?
So the biggest wastage you're going to have is your positive biomarkers when you're doing the testing. So in a group of 100 units, maybe 10 of those will fall out because of testing. A lot of times that's false positives because our testing is so sensitive. We're trying to close window periods. So normal HIV window period of when you're infected versus testing positive through a doctor's office may be as far out as, you know, 4 or 5 weeks. Whereas what we're doing, they can detect it within a couple weeks. So it's sometimes we have that overlap. It's most of the units that we collect, though, because we're going after those healthy blood donors, are viable units. We're going to collect a unit, and it's going to go out the next day.
Yeah, so there are extensive efforts underway to ensure that the blood supply is good.
Oh, yeah. There's so many. It's kind of like a Swiss cheese model that we look at. At some point, you're worried that all the holes are going to line up and something's going to get through. But if you put as many layers of testing, of donor history questionnaire, all these different things to try to prevent that from happening. That's what we're there to do. That's what the FDA is trying to do, is make sure that those units are safe when they go out.
How are blood donation centers like Lee Health, how are they evaluated by, I don't know who the entity would be, but...
So the governing agency for us is FDA. So FDA lays out the basic ground rules of this is how you'll operate. They do a biannual inspection. So they actually come out to the facility. They come and watch us draw blood. They come and watch us ship blood, all that stuff. And then we also have an outside agency, a third-party accreditation group called AABB. Used to be American Association of Blood Banks, but now it's international. So they just kept the name. And I'm actually part of that group. We do peer evaluations of other blood centers. So I will volunteer to do an assessment. They will provide me a location that could be anywhere in the country. I was just in Nashville a few weeks ago doing an inspection of a blood center up there. And all that we do is go in and say, FDA gives you the basic rules. AABB kind of is above those of how to do what we do safely. So we go up and make sure that you're following what those rules are and that you're also following what you say you do. So we all have standard operating procedures, manuals, and we want to make sure that that's what you're doing is what's written in those manuals.
I thought you were going to say AABBO positive. Ended it at the second beat, but I'd never heard of AABB.
No,
but I'm not in the blood business.
Yeah, not many people have. So that's kind of the cool thing of talking about this is it's the behind the scenes stuff that people really don't see.
Yeah, and you guys clearly get a clean bill of health every time, and you've done a great job.
Thank you.
Yeah. For the people in Lee County, Florida. And by the way, if you're listening in another part of the country, another part of the world, you ought to consider giving blood in your community. There are always opportunities to do that, and not too hard to find them. In fact, we were discussing earlier, Jeremy, that you can, if the urge strikes you, you can walk into a Lee Health blood center anytime.
Correct. So yeah, we have blood mobiles that are out at locations like the realtor group here, as well attended, but at the same time we have fixed sites to kind of help out those people that don't necessarily want to get on a blood mobile and feel a little bit more comfortable in a larger space. So those are there available to you. You can visit our website, leehealth.org, look up blood donation, get those locations as well as some of our blood drives that we're at, and we'd love to have you.
There must be some surprise expressed by people who donate blood, not only by how easy it is, we talked about that earlier, but also some of the uses for blood that people may not be aware of. Could you talk about those?
Yeah, so there's definitely rare cases of sickle cell disease, things like that blood is used for. So sickle cell disease, we actually will have patients that we need to exchange their red cells because they've become sickled. So they go on a machine that we go into a room. We have a machine similar to what we collect platelets on that will pull the whole blood out of the patient. It'll pull off the unit, the red cells that we don't want, and then we hang a new bag of red cells, and that's what goes in.
So similar to dialysis?
Yeah, very similar. Instead of it cleaning out the blood, we're going to take out what we don't want and give you something good in return. We also do that with a couple of other diseases for plasma exchange. Same thing, same principle. You want to get all the bad out and give them good units. So there's definitely crazy things that go on in this world that blood is definitely saving lives, without a doubt, every single day.
Now, of course, the value of blood is incalculable when you're in need, and it's life or death, right? It's
right.
Money doesn't matter, but there must be an actual cost to obtain a unit of blood when you do so?
So the unit of blood is free because it's coming from a volunteer blood donor. So we cannot charge for a unit of blood. The money is related to the processing. And that's really just dependent on, you know, what testing was done. All of our ancillary products that are used, the blood bag, the cleaning antiseptic, all these different things that go into that. So that's where when you're billed for a unit of blood that's transfused, you're not paying for the blood because it was donated voluntarily. You're paying for that processing to get it to you.
Makes sense. Now, yeah. I was thinking also about when your stocks are low and you have to go outside of Lee County to obtain blood, you pay money for it.
Yeah, and it all is dependent on what's going on in the market at that time. Yeah. So it could be all kinds of different numbers. It could be $100. It could be $20. It just really depends on what's going on in the world that day.
Gotcha. Supply and demand
rules
the day as usual. When people get on board the big green bus, they almost always give, but sometimes you have to send people away, right?
Yeah. So there could be reasons. Medical could have a medical condition that prevents you from donating blood. Could be some heart issues, things like that. It's too much to really try to just lay out and say, hey, here's the 10 things that will prevent you from donating blood. Medication really isn't a huge concern. It's why you're taking the medication. So we have a medication deferral list that's maybe 20 medications. It's not that many that really pose a risk to somebody if they're transfused.
What kind of medications?
There's a couple anticoagulants. So things like your warfarins, things like that we don't want you to donate. That's more a risk to the recipient. So some of those other medications like aspirin, not an issue. You can donate whole blood on aspirin. It's more a platelet agent, and we're not collecting platelets from that. So I always caution people, don't think that, you know, just because you have some kind of medical condition, some medication that you're taking daily, don't immediately think that you can't donate blood. You can always call us, ask us, we'll look it up for you and give you an answer.
That's great. Now, what are some of the other misconceptions about donating blood that you've come across?
Probably it takes too long. You know, I'm going to be here, I got to take an hour out of my day, I'm going to feel horrible afterwards, you know, just odd things like that. We're here to make it as simple as possible. We're going to make it as fast as possible for you. We know everybody's working, they need to get in, they need to get out. The big thing, if you stay hydrated, you hydrate afterwards, that's going to help any of the reactions that you're having, any of the faintness, any of those activities that you may have had in the past. We're going to try to help prevent that from going on again.
And we spoke in the previous show about COVID. That is not going to be something that prohibits you from giving.
Right. So COVID, originally we were taking convalescent plasma donations. So if you were positive for COVID, we would want to collect a unit and have it go down that path. We've halted that program as of the beginning of this week, actually, because the demand's not there anymore for the units to be transfused. So COVID, as long as you're 14 days symptom-free, you're more than welcome to come and donate. We don't know of any transmission of COVID through blood donation across the world. Any of the coronaviruses have been shown not to be transmitted through blood. So really, there's not a concern there. It's more, if as long as we're doing what we're supposed to do, there's no risk of exposure either. Everybody on the bus has a mask. We're cleaning in between donors. We're doing everything we can to help put people at ease.
That's good news. Yeah, I know some folks have been concerned, or at least asking questions about COVID and blood blood collection. Has your volume gone down in terms of donations due to COVID?
So right now we're actually doing really well collection wise. We're pretty stable at where we were pre-COVID, if not collecting more units, because we've been out there in the media trying to tout up these blood drives and make sure that we can shore up the supply that's being used. And it's not the COVID patients that are using blood. They're not bleeding, so there's no need there. But at the same time, we have seen a reduction in places holding blood drives, so it's maximizing those drives. You know, some of those businesses that are still not open that usually do a really good blood drive, they're not able to have them. So we're going to some of our other partners, like the Realtor Association, and trying to get them to maximize the number of people that are going to come to that drive, and we'll send as much staff as we need to get the units collected.
Yeah, here at RPCRA in both Cape Coral and Fort Myers, we regularly have the collection bus, the big green bus here for collection events. I know that we got something coming up in May, so watch our social media pages if you're interested in donating, and we hope you are. And no matter where you are, I would urge you to find a blood collection center near you. and step up and help the community. It's good stuff. Jeremy, if you're like me, half an hour after this interview ends, I'm going to say, oh, I wish I'd asked him. Is there anything that I'm not asking you that you want folks to know?
The biggest thing is we want to remove every hurdle that's there for you donating blood. So if it's a past issue, if it's just the nerves of never doing it before, give us a call, come to one of our fixed sites. We kind of are able to take a little bit better care of you in the reality of there's not as many people, right? So kind of our nurses are a little more one-on-one than at one of our blood mobiles. So anybody that's a little nervous about doing it, I would suggest coming to one of those fixed sites, kind of put you at ease. And then next time the blood mobile is in your area, you're going to feel more comfortable just jumping on and giving your donation. The other thing is time. We're there to make it as seamless as possible and as fast as possible. So however long that the actual screening process is the longest part of your donation. The actual time in the bed giving your unit's going to be less than 10 minutes. So that shouldn't be a barrier for you.
All right. Plus, there's cookies and swag, right?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. We're always pumping something out. We have socks right now. We're going to do an insulated shopping bag. That seems to be the big one. People always asking when are the shopping bags coming back. Oh, yeah. Some T-shirts. We do a bunch of different stuff.
No, those things typically donated?
No, so actually that's out of our budget. So we go out, whatever the incentive is for that period of time, we'll go out and purchase. So right now we've partnered with a group and we've done a whole donation plan for the year. So we have mapped out what each of our gifts are and we have a note that goes with, you know, what the next one is coming up.
Cool. Very cool. Yeah. All right. Hey, I want to thank you for taking the time to come talk with us today, Jeremy.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure. Now, you told me earlier today that you are also a podcaster. Would you like to give your podcast a plug?
I don't know if Lee Health would like me giving my podcast a plug.
So. Yeah. Well, Jeremy Puckett. If you look for Jeremy Puckett, you're going to find this
there
guy.
There you go.
Because he is out there in the community in many, many ways. Hey, Jerry, thank you.
You're very welcome, Jim, and thank you.
My pleasure. Yeah. Jerry, it's always a pleasure. I show up to work every day. This is Jerry. We do this podcast and we have fun doing
we
it.
We do this thing.
Yeah, it's so cool.
Many other things.
Yeah, seriously, we get to meet some of the most interesting people in Lee County, like Jeremy here. People we wouldn't get a chance to meet otherwise.
Yeah, I love learning these new things. It's in the detail. It was really amazing.
It's very cool. And I hope the listeners are enjoying it as well. I want to thank our CEO here, Beata Jones at the Realtor Association. Beata is very supportive, as is the entire staff. And if you want to get in touch with us, I would hope you would do that. Just send us an email. We're at shows@rpcra.org. That's shows@rpcra.org. No matter where in the USA you are listening or where around the world, we want to hear from you. And my name again is Jim Sandville, and we will look forward to seeing you again next time.
Thanks for listening to the Royal Palmcast. Be sure to listen again each week. Share and subscribe on your favorite podcast app or YouTube. And be sure to check out our sister podcast, Realtor Riff Rap, and our video news show, Realtor's Corner, which can be found on the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association Facebook page and YouTube channel. For information about sponsorship opportunities for this and other RPCRA productions, email us at shows@rpcra.org. This has been a production of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association.